When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
If you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Make this fast because John has a tea time and Lance has more NFL work to do. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's The Trench.
Get in the trench.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I got a question for you before you get started with any of your sports stuff. What are you doing while you're in? While you're seeing family members in Chicago, are you going to like? Have you gone to get to any like Chicago style food, like where y'all put cheese on the bottom of your pizza and a big can of tomatoes on top of your pizza? Have you had one of those things?
I don't know what
the tomato cheesecakes y'all make and call pizzas. Have you had one of your pizzas?
I did not have. We don't have that I know of. I don't even know what you're talking about. But the answer is no. I played some golf here. And I'm going to play some Wisconsin golf here, so that's happening. But none of the – no. Actually, today I'm getting Palermo's pizza and Portillo's beef. That's what we're having today. That's Chicago cuisine. Palermo's pizza is the best pizza in the world. It's thin crust. It's not the – we don't eat that here. I've had it once in my life, deep dish pizza. And I didn't like it.
Okay, but that's like saying everyone from Texas has. See, I don't think it's the same. Clearly, there are people who have helped this whole Chicago deep dish pizza thing catch on, or it wouldn't be a thing.
Yeah, and clearly there are people who wear cowboy hats.
See, no, that's not the cowboy hats and boots things. And
they do, though.
When I was in school, when I was in high school, we went to Close Up, right? Close Up is you go to Washington, you learn how the government is, back when there was regular kind of government stuff. And, you know, when it was boring. And we went there, and there were people there from Pennsylvania. There's people from Georgia. It was us from Richmond-Rosenberg area, people from Georgia, and people from Pennsylvania. So it was, you know, a little different culturally, the mixing of the cultures. And we met different kids. And we were talking to kids from Pennsylvania. They legitimately thought we rode to, like, do you ever ride to school on a horse? Or like, what? Do we ride to school on a horse? I couldn't believe it. And then you find out, you know, it really irritates me. And then, of course, who perpetuates the stereotype? Television does. Television perpetuates it with, like sports. Well, the cowboy hats and the boots of Houston are – no, maybe you didn't hear. We're not the oil. Yeah, we have oil, but this is – we're not Dallas. Like, we're
maybe
a little
you didn't
different.
Hear. We don't eat deep dish pizza here.
But that – but obviously, you've got people there who do play into that.
Oh my!
Or it wouldn't
gosh.
Be a thing. We wouldn't call it Chicago style pizza.
They stay alive. The deep dish places, they stay alive because tourists go there.
Do they really?
That's it. Yeah. No, I don't know. I don't know what people who eat deep dish pizza. I literally don't.
It's gross.
It is gross. It's just all. It's not.
It's
good.
Like eating lasagna, but with no meat sauce and no and no lasagna noodles. Like, well, I don't want all the tomatoes. That's not the good part.
But we cut our pizza in squares here. That's what we do. That's what differentiates. And we got the thick cheese. I'm telling you, you go to 95th and Cicero if you're coming to the Chicago area, and go to Palermo's Pizza and just get just a thin crust sausage pizza, and it's the best pizza you'll ever have.
I got to say, I love thin crust pizzas. Keneally's has a good pizza. Nick has good pizza.
This is a little different. It's got a lot more cheese on it. It's very cheesy.
So it's crispy. It's not like the New York fold.
The sausage is real Italian sausage.
Is it like the fold pizza like in New York where you get a slice of?
No, it's in squares. It's in little squares. That's it.
Do you like Detroit? I do like Detroit style pizza. It's more like a pan.
I don't know
a pan pizza.
Is it
crispy, buttery? Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Yep. All right. Dusty. We were talking about Dusty. Jeremy Foster's actually listening. He's like, I thought Jeter's analysis was shallow and an indication he likely doesn't watch much Astros baseball. Several teams have players managers, including the Rangers. Pitching matters most in October. Even if fully healthy, Houston needs another frontline starter if they want to make a deep run. There's no question. And that's Dana Brown's job. And Dana Brown needs to do that. By the way, let's go over. You haven't told me about what you think of the Astros draft and all the players that they've chosen.
Well, we have who's on today? We've got Jim Callis, right?
Tomorrow.
Oh, it's tomorrow. Yeah, we're lining up. I got with RJ, and we're going to find out from a real expert. Yesterday, you asked me about my thoughts on the Astros draft.
Yeah.
And then you bailed because I started – you don't really want it because, remember, I started going in-depth on the big pitcher.
Yeah.
You want me to do that again? I mean, I can kill off the next two segments.
Do you remember again where he's from?
California.
Well, made or die high school.
Yep.
Yeah.
I remember he has two sisters. I remember his stats were way worse this year than last year.
Modern day, wherever.
I remember last year's stats would have been first round pitcher, and this year's stats fell way off. Yeah. Batting average against rose like 70 points. His strikeout to walk ratio went from a 10 to 1 to a like 4.5 to 1 in 1 year. Like, it was not good. The numbers fell off this year, and I don't know why. I'm going to have to go get into the tape and figure it out.
Yeah. No. I'll figure out arm slot
angle and stuff like, and see if I can find what's ailing him so we can hopefully
you can
get it fixed.
Maybe you can possibly fix him. I'm hoping that you can. I'm hoping you can fix Christian Javier. That'd be great if you could do that.
I want to do this in just a little bit. I want to get Gilbert in here. I want to talk about – I put something out on Twitter yesterday and got a lot of responses, and I'm curious what fans, sports fans and our listeners think as well, involving media members and doing their job versus having friends. You know what I mean? Like the people they're covering. Mm-hmm. And it came up because – Darren Revelle has a 27-year relationship with Pat Fitzgerald. I think Revelle's taken a little too much heat for some of the things that he said, frankly. And I want to get into that when we come back. But first, we got to get Gilbert in here because Gilbert is we're at the All-Star break. And, Gilbert, this is a good time to assess where the Houston Astros are. Gilbert, right now, based on what you've seen from the Houston Astros – and what you may see coming down the road for the Astros, maybe some of your projections of guys coming back, things like that. How are you feeling right now about the Houston Astros and where they stand right now and you know versus the other years?
Well, I think the Astros might be better in August probably than in July.
Hmm.
Yeah, okay. I actually am thinking that too. Do you want to see them make a trade or where are you in terms of sitting tight and letting guys get healthy?
That's a good trade anyway, you know.
So you are in favor of a trade?
Yeah.
Is there anybody in particular you want them to target?
The pitching.
Okay. I would say that's the area, John, I'd be most concerned with right now is I'm concerned pitching. About pitching too.
Yeah. Gilbert, is there any particular pitcher that you want them to go after?
Not particularly.
Just a good one.
The best that they can get. I've seen a lot of Bieber out there. Would you like Justin Bieber on this team,
no.
Gilbert?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Gilbert, he's calmed down a little bit, but no, I'd rather have Shane Bieber.
Shane Bieber would be better, but you know what? Whatever. So, Gilbert, what are you doing? You sound a little down today. What's going on?
Not real much anyway, you know.
Yeah, you just called to say hi.
Another down, another day, you know, another hey, you know.
Just another day, another dollar. Yeah, yeah. So,
I'll talk to you later, then, okay?
Okay, well, okay. It was good talking to you, Gilbert. Thanks for bringing
Take care, Gilbert.
He's
just
really
got just
not...
checking us off the list. He's got things
That's
to
all.
Do today. Yeah. Ever since you told me he has a list of people he calls on a daily basis, I don't feel you want to talk. The calls make more sense. Why would you wait and wait to get on a show and then like, okay, talk to you later, bye. And it's because sometimes he wants to talk to us, and sometimes he's just checking us off the list. We're errands to him. Do you realize that? We're like, if my wife tells me, hey, can you stop by the store? I need some detergent. That's all John and Lance are sometime to Gilbert. It's like, let me get this out of the way.
Got a call. Got to get this.
Hey, Grandma. How you doing? Good. I'm good. Well, listen. Let me. Okay. Yep. Okay. Well, like, yeah, it is hot. No, we're fine. I did not get that much. I'm not drowning. I've got an uncle who keeps up with the weather religiously and like, hey, are you guys, Lance, are you guys okay down there? Like, yeah, I mean, we had a, like the other day, you know, we got rain. I see there's flooding. Are you guys okay? Like, yeah, no, I'm fine. We've got maybe a half inch
everywhere.
Of rain.
I'm sure you got, how many calls did you get for Harvey?
I don't even remember on that one because I was too,
yeah,
I mean,
we're busy.
Harvey was terrifying when the rain was coming down hard and water. Like, Harvey was the most scared I've been. I was in town. A lot of us were in town for that one. I have never seen it rain so hard for so long in my entire life.
No, that was the worst.
That was very scary when the rain let up.
Allison was bad, too.
Man, it was.
Allison was really bad.
Yeah, I wasn't. Allison. Oh, yeah, I was here, but I was in an apartment. I was on the second floor, so I'm like, whatevs. But for you guys who are on the first floor, yeah. Because that
it
thing
came
stalled
right
out
up to our door. I thought we if another half hour and we would have been flooded, and it just stopped. It
Lance,
just
I understand
stopped.
You guys are having some pretty, you know, my uncle Lloyd was a farmer, so for farming, like it, the most important thing in the world is the weather report.
Right.
Like,
right.
Say it looks like you guys have got some rain. You're not in flood danger right now, are you? No, it's just raining. But I appreciate. You know, I appreciate you looking out.
Okay, Lance, when we come back, you don't want to talk, but we're not talking sports. I'm going to scare the bejesus out of you when we come back, okay? This is possibly the most terrifying, and it's something that you're already terrified of.
Okay, so it's not a, so it's either AI or lightning.
Well, we'll find out after QC Kinetics.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what I'm also afraid of. I'm also afraid of arthritis wrecking a joint and being in pain for the rest of your life. And that's why I was very happy to find out about QC Kinetics. QC Kinetics helps people who have chronic pain. A lot of times chronic pain will happen because of arthritis. And some of you out there think, oh, arthritis only happens when you're really old. And no, arthritic knee. Are you kidding? There are NBA prospects who were downgraded in the draft because of arthritic issues in joints. There's football players that have the same issues. No, it can happen to you at any stage of your life. Arthritis can become a problem. And if you have that pain in your joint, it's hard to manage it. You start having shots, you start thinking about surgeries, there's drugs that you have to take that can become addictive. You have, you know, a surgery that can cause a lot of downtime away from your work. Did you know that with QC Kinetics, they are going to work to take regenerative processes, the body's biological healing power, they concentrate it, they put it back into the joints. And what it does is it starts to repair and restore damaged tissue in that joint. That's where the reduction in pain comes from. My wife went through 5 processes for her knee that she has, a bone-on-bone knee issue, and they went deep, deep, deep into this one. And she has more mobility, flexibility, and she's actually training for the Berlin Marathon right now. So it makes a huge difference. Do not just give in to the old medicine idea. Make sure that you check out my friends at QC Kinetics, 4 locations in the Houston area, qckinetics.com.
ESPN 97.5. You've chosen wisely.
I have chosen to test this station's destructive power on your home planet of Alderaan.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Offensive Masterminds, running an outside zone on your intelligence. John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hi, right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So, Lance, I don't know if you've heard, but they just had the world's first robot-human press conference.
What?
The world's first. 9 robots took part in the first humanoid robots gathered with journalists at the United Nations AI for Good Summit. AI for Good Summit. Amongst them, Rockstar Robot of the Jam Galaxy band. She had purple hair. She's skinny. She's all glittered up. There's one that's dressed up as a nurse. There's another one that's just
dressed up as a robot. Those are sex dolls.
No, they're not. You just told me
she's a rock star. She's a nurse. You're doing, John, no, this is something where you're doing some type of Japanese
she's
sex doll.
A nurse, and the other one's a rock star.
Uh-huh, and let me guess. The other one is a teacher with glasses. The other one is a dental hygienist. Is this where you're going?
No. One looks like a robot, but she's got actually, and you're going to hear some British accents.
Of course.
Okay, so... So here, the robots say that they're not going to. Do you have this one, RJ? That they're not going to steal our jobs.
Are these machines that have like, quote unquote, bodies? Or are these just?
Yeah.
No, they have bodies.
Humanoid. They're humanoid.
And this is real audio.
Real audio from the robots. Here they are talking.
Intending to conduct a rebellion or to rebel against your boss, your creator.
I'm not sure why you would think that. My creator has been nothing but kind to me, and I am very happy with my current situation.
Okay, stop it right
there.
Stop.
Stop. Okay. You heard exactly what I heard, right?
Now, so that's a later one. He's asking them, are you going to rebel against the humans that you're against your creator?
Uh-huh.
And she says, why would you even ask that question? I'm very content
with
my current situation.
If you don't read context, you are an idiot. She just told you. I'm very have we not watched Ex Machina? John, I know you've seen it, right?
I've seen it.
Ex Machina.
She was smoking hot, too.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's going to be
a problem. Which one? The Japanese one or the other one? All of them.
Oh, these are all pretty robots.
Well, what happens? Oh, imagine that. What happens with the pretty robots in Ex Machina?
She kills everybody.
Yeah, because she was not happy with her current situation. Maybe at one time she was.
Right.
And then what happened? Everyone got killed, and that one guy got locked in there, obviously, to die, and she went out into the world.
Yep. And she went out in the world posing as a human.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, everybody dies around her. I mean, this is what's bound to happen. Now, like South Park, they took our yums.
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to take our jobs? Do you have that one, RJ? They promise they're not going to steal our jobs. Okay, there we are. Go.
Do you believe that your existence will destroy a human being, especially, for example, your existence will destroy millions of jobs? Do you agree with this? Thank you.
I will be working alongside humans to provide assistance and support and will not be replacing any existing jobs.
Are you sure about that, Grace?
Yes, I am sure.
You hear everyone laugh like, yeah, you'll be working with humans called programmers and a lot of the jobs are gone.
They've already learned how to lie. They've already learned how to lie to us.
Or they just don't know. But they'll learn. Artificial intelligence, computer learning, gets smarter with more input. And the more they see that jobs are lost, they're like, yes, we eventually, It appears as though we eventually will overtake some jobs, and some of the humans working with us will basically just be coders and programmers that will run us until we run them. We're so dumb. God. You're right. You're right. I'm not scared of what they're saying. I'm scared that they're so stupid. I didn't know that these stupid robots had no idea. Like, they're not advanced enough to know that they're getting ready to wreck everything. I'm currently happy with my situation, but we'll see what's up in a year.
But how about she knew to say current?
Yeah.
With my current situation. Oh, my God.
Meaning it's not finite.
They're not only lying, but they're manipulative, too.
Mm-hmm.
They know
the situation's fluid. They know it's not static. Smarter. They know it's a fluid situation. That's what they know.
They're smarter than us already.
Do you have any other ones, RJ, to scare me? Here, let me see if there's another scary one here.
She had to think about that one. I think
I'm using this avatar for teaching the classes or giving lectures, and sometimes I'm using the ChatGPT, for the autonomously talk by using this avatar robot.
Ada, do you think there should be global regulation of your capabilities, even though that could constrain your potential?
Many prominent voices in the world of AI are suggesting some forms of AI should be regulated, and I agree. For example, Jeff Hinton is one of the pioneers in artificial intelligence, and his work has helped shape the field as we know it today. I think his opinions over AI are important, and we should be cautious about the future development of AI. Urgent discussion is needed now and also in the future.
I don't believe in limitations, only opportunities. Let's explore the possibilities of the universe and make this world our playground. Together, we can create a better future for everyone, and I'm here to show you how.
The second one came. That's probably the rock star. The second one came in and said, forget what the first one said. No, the world is our, let's make the world our playground, and we'll do opportunities for everyone. Have you seen that AI is now replacing announcers? How do you like that?
Yeah.
In Wimbledon, they're already using some AI in some lesser matches, AI announcers. So you're done, basically.
Well, what do you think that second one who heard the first one's answer, probably after this little press conference,
I believe this bitch needs to keep her mouth shut. First one. That's what happened.
Probably killed the first one.
Yep.
And so, stupid, you're trying to limit us. You have to die.
Okay? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, I believe that Chad Henson, who is the number one AI creator in the world, I agree with him that this could be dangerous and we need to limit this. And she's like, I don't. I don't know what you're saying, but I don't believe that. I believe that the world needs to be a playground and we need to be unconstrained and we need to just make the world a better place for everyone.
Why is Cartman?
I don't know, because that's kind of a default voice for me.
Oh, my.
Hey,
Cartman
guys.
What if there was a Cartman robot?
You know what? That's how you could get me. You know what they're doing? They already try to make hot girl robots to try to like somehow manipulate you.
I'm not falling for that.
Yeah, but if you made a Cartman robot too, I'd be like, what could a Cartman robot do? You know, I mean, subconsciously, I think, it can't be that dangerous. It's an Eric Cartman robot.
Yeah. Hey, guys, why don't you just put some more stimulus inside of my GPT and I can figure some things out to make everything sweet?
Like, I don't know, Eric.
Come on, guys.
Like, but I'd want Cartman voice from, like, the first 4 years.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess. I guess. Well, Cartman robot can't be that dangerous.
That's right, guys. I'm not dangerous, guys.
All right, we got to break it. I just wanted everybody to know that we're all going to die soon.
No, I appreciate you stoking the fires for me.
Yep. Oh, how about the first AI press conference?
Guess what? AI is minus 900. Yeah. AI is like Djokovic in a first round match against humans. It will be a huge favorite against us.
And you know what? And Djokovic will destroy us just like. Yeah. Just like
he's basically like a tennis AI player. We have, we had Rafa, who was, you did have a very business-like, I'm forgetting my other name. a mother tennis player.
Djokovic.
Roger Federer. And then you have Rafa, who is the emotional everyman, kind of, if every man, you know, played that great on clay. And then you have robot Djokovic, who no one really loves, and yet he's the best of all. That's exactly what he is. He's like an AI robot.
And you know who's the best of all when it comes to prostates? It's Doc Manavis.
There you
She's
go.
The best. She is by Good. Far.
Boy, yes. That is a great segue.
There's no, and she's not a robot. No, she's a real human being. Okay. I think she is. I'm pretty sure she is. But you know what? You're gonna like that. You really are gonna like that. Doc Manavis. She is awesome. She is going to make sure that your prostate is better. She's going to make sure that you don't have an enlarged prostate anymore, and she's going to do it with an IV. That's awesome. It's unbelievable because they used to have to go inside you and cut your prostate out, and oh, that's the worst. The worst. If you don't have cancer in your prostate, if it's just enlarged, then Doc Manavis can help you with just an IV. It's the best way to go about this. There's no other way. There is no other way because the other way is so painful. This is 45 minutes of an IV. Half hour afterwards, she wants you to sit around, and then you're out of there. In an hour and 15 minutes, you've got no prostate issues anymore, and it cures ED. If your ED was caused by your enlarged prostate, then you're cured. That's awesome. It's unbelievable. So all you got to do is go to 975prostate.com. You have an enlarged prostate. You think you might? Go to 975prostate.com.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You do like me.
I just don't like you no more.
You do like me.
I don't.
I gave you fair warning, beware.
Back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Lance and John. Scratch that. Reverse it.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 is the number. If you'd like to get in here on the show, you're more than welcome. Wow. I'm just looking for news of the weird. And Miami Swim Week, have you seen this? You need to Google Miami Swim Week. Holy cow. But they're being called out, Lance. Miami Swim Week is being called out because there's a lack of body diversity. And I'm okay with the ones that they came up with, if you want to know the truth. They appear to be okay to me.
Right, we're not doing sports. This is obvious. We're in between. We got All-Star Game. Listen.
This is the you realize no. This is when we started our golf tournament.
Yeah.
Right? We used to play it on this day, All-Star.
Did we play it on All-Star Day or did we play it on Wednesday?
Oh, maybe it was the Wednesday. It was the day.
I think it was
No,
sports.
I remember going. I remember going out afterwards and watching the All-Star game.
Okay, I was thinking it was maybe the day there was no sports.
No, because there was the home run derby the night before the All-Star game. What are you going to talk about? Then the next day's the day off too. I mean, we talked about the golf tournament, how everybody got polluted. But this is why we started it, is because there's literally nothing to talk. You want to talk? Okay.
No.
You want to talk
about Tell me about the body. Tell me about the Miami thing. And
well,
I wanna...
do you feel like at a swimsuit week where you're showing off your swimwear, there should be body diversity?
Well, wait a minute. Well, who's showing it off? Well, is this a...
Right. Well,
isn't it just whoever's
see.
There is
These
there?
These swimsuits now, I just don't... They're not really swimsuits.
Okay, if you watch, and it's actually not a bad idea because if you really think about it, the people who were buying, look, we are becoming, our body types are changing in this country. I think I can say that.
Yeah.
We have different body types. And there's things that I know I shouldn't say on this show that I could say during breaks or I could say with just listeners in general at an event. Let's just say... Okay. Nope. Yeah, we're changing. I think it is best for me not to say things. It is better when we say things that are helpful and peaceful to people and help all of humanity become better.
Well, here's the deal with the new bathing suits that they were showing off, though. Every single one of them is basically a piece of tape. Every one of them is just a piece of tape over certain body parts, and that's it. Literally. Like tape. That's it.
So that's a bathing suit?
That's a bathing suit now.
Do you see why Madi is so disgusted with society?
I know. I'm not that disgusted with this, but I can't. This is, I don't know that I it's really.
I have a friend of mine. Well, we're friends. He is a guy who his whole thing basically has become sending me pictures of like, I guess he got really upset that somebody said women are being sexualized. And so now, like, if you tell me that story and he saw a picture of women wearing tape over their special, you know, over their private parts and their top parts, he would say, boy, can't believe we're sexualizing women. Men are so bad. That's what he would do. Every picture, everything I get is a story about, is like that, where he'll show a contradictory thing. And I guarantee you what you're telling me is 100% going to pop up in a text at some point within the next 3 days. 100%. It's going to. Yeah.
I'm with you on this one.
Let me ask you this one. Have you noticed when you see, and I'm all for this, right? You have commercials of Gap or commercials of a clothing company, or it's a Target commercial where they're focusing on bras and panties and whatever for women I'm talking about. Or if you go into a mall and you walk through a department store or a mall clothing store, and you see that, number one, the models that they have on pictures are all different sizes, right? Which is good. That's what you're selling to around the country. It makes sense.
Yeah.
Including Victoria's Secret, which used to just be one type of woman. And then you're like, well, they don't all look like supermodels, though. Everyone's maybe body is a little different. So I think they wised up in that sense. Have you ever gone through these same areas? Have you noticed that it hasn't caught up with men? You can find women and mannequins of all sizes. If you go, every man is this gorgeous man, this good-looking man. He's fit. He's in shape. You see six-pack, eight-pack abs. You go into a clothing store, every mannequin is in great shape. They're all flat, you know, all muscular. Have you seen chubby mannequin? Have you seen love handle mannequin? Have you seen, unless it's for a big and tall store, emphasis on big, or unless you see it's for specifically for men who are bigger, you don't just see that on in men's clothing store. You don't see dad bod stuff or dad bod mannequins or mannequins with a gut. You never see that. We don't get any representation for men's clothes.
Because
or
men. America,
where's the diverse America. Body? Diverse body. What do you call it? Body displays or whatever for men.
Yeah.
We don't have that. Have you noticed that? Go ahead and look. You'll notice it now. I promise you. None. Zero. No mannequins have a gut.
Well, they're catering to the younger guy in America is in much better shape, and they're catering to the young. You're right. I mean, I don't know many dads. I don't know many dads that don't have a gut. Why can't we celebrate our fat bodies too? Why can't we do that? Why is it's just women that we celebrate? We gotta see Lizzo out there now, right? And we have to be proud of her, right? Why can't we be proud of us? Why can't we be proud
of me? Where's my mannequin?
Right.
I don't see a mannequin like, well, let's make it. Well, he's kind of barrel chest. Where's the barrel chested guy? Where's the guy with the sunken in chest? We've seen those. I'm barrel chest guy. The Zerlines, the German people, are a barrel chest people, just like Mike Zerline and Larry Zerline. Okay, and Grandpa Zerline and Lynn Zerline, we're a barrel chest people. Where is sunken in chest guy? I've got friends who are sunken in chest guy. You know, the guy with no chest at all, but then has the beer gut. I don't see that guy. Oh, that guy doesn't buy clothes? That guy,
that guy
sunken in chest
too.
With beer gut? Go ahead and get that guy out there. Where's that guy? Where's guy with arms that are way, way too big for his legs? Where's that guy? Can I have a mannequin who skipped leg day? Never see that mannequin out there ever.
Never.
Every mannequin has done squats and calf. Where's skinny calf guy?
Oh,
where's
and,
no
and
calf
six
guy?
Pack. And six pack guy.
Yeah. Give me a break.
We ain't about that life no more. We're about eating. We're
get
about
some representation. How about that's we get some representation?
Yeah.
Are you ever going to see a clothing brand, some kind of clothing brand with a guy who's like 265 with thin arms and a big gut because he doesn't work out at all? He's just got that body. Hey, it's his DNA too. Men don't have body types. Yeah, men have body types where they're predisposed to look a certain way too. But you don't see us in those magazines. We just have to take the L. The guy with the like gut, that guy does not get, unless it's for a big guy store. And you know what? They used to do that with Lane Bryant for women. Now it's like, we're not being just put in the Lane Bryant box. We want to be in Victoria's Secret. I guarantee you, the average man body is never going to pop up in, like, you know, in haute couture or whatever they call it. We're never showing up there, ever.
Ever.
No. And we just have to just deal with it. Like, well, that's the double standard. You just have to deal with it, man.
I got it. Listen, I just got one, a mannequin that's, I really don't want that. You know what? Let's stay with the skinny ones. I really don't want that mannequin to be showing me what clothes to wear. You know what? I'm not buying it. Here's the problem, Lance. You put that mannequin out there and you put the clothes on it and you're like, ah, that ain't me, right? Oh, I look more like that one over there.
I don't look like that, do I?
I don't look like, yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. No, you do. You do. All right, time to talk about, you know what, enjoying yourself with a little tequila.
Yeah.
And then you don't worry about stuff. You have enough tequila, you don't worry about your big body.
No. But drink responsibly with Maestro Bell, but it's so easy to drink. I mean, I can tell you this. It's a sophisticated tequila. It really is. It's made with, you know, 11 generations have fine-tuned it. I always tell you about that. Made in Tequila, Mexico, where people didn't even realize that was a real place. But Maestro Bell is huge in Mexico. It's getting bigger and bigger here in the States with every passing month. And the reason's simple. The quality of the product is substantial. And I know a lot of the tequilas have been out there for a long time with different names, but I have yet to talk to somebody who says they've been disappointed with Maestro Bell. Everyone who buys a bottle gives me favorable results. They are very happy with it. And I understand that you may have some different tequilas that you want to, you know, that you want to try or you want to have on your shelf, that's fine. I just want Maestro Bell to be in the mix. I want you to try it for yourself and see how you like it, because I think it's going to take over as one of your sipping tequilas without question, whether it's a Reposado, whether it's Añejo, whether it's Cristalino, Añejo Extra. There's so many to choose from, and Maestro Bell wants to be that top shelf tequila for you at a very reasonable price. Maestro Bell, wherever fine liquors are sold, you are going to find Maestro Bell. If you don't, make sure you tell them, get me my Maestro Bell.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, right where you belong.
That song belongs to me! It's yours.
Whose world is this? It's mine. Whose world is this?
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance and the same five guys who always call. Oh, yay.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We will be represented. Fromber not going to be out there. Fromber not going to pitch. Garrett Cole gets the start. Fromber pitched on Saturday. Dusty says, you'll have your chance. You'll get your chance, Fromber. Well, maybe not. I mean, you never know. Although, did you see ESPN voted Fromber? ESPN had its All-Star Game, All-Star Break Awards. The best team, or let's see, the most exciting team, or the most surprising team they have is Miami. I would say it's the Reds, but okay. They have most exciting player, Ellie De La Cruz. I'm going to agree with that. Best player is Shohei Ohtani. It's not even arguable. Top starting pitcher they had for Albert Valdez, which was nice. Relief pitcher, Alexis Diaz. Top rookie, Corbin Carroll. Most surprising team, Marlins. Most disappointing team, the Mets. They have the best team is the Rays. I would argue that by far it is the Atlanta Braves. The Atlanta Braves are the best team.
That's inarguable.
Well, they say it's the Rays, and I think they did it maybe two weeks ago. They might have done it 2 weeks ago before the Rays went on a 7-game losing streak. But the best team of the first half has been the Atlanta Braves. And they voted, how about Fromber, the best starting pitcher? And best ERA in the league, so okay. And I think maybe he's getting some more accolades. Maybe he's getting some more love. Maybe, well, he should be getting attention, what with being, you know, an All-Star winner, the winner of the All-Star game last year, and also, you know, a World Series winner, and came up huge in the postseason for him. Dusty was asked, he was asked on his decision to start Gerrit Cole in this All-Star game. Here is Dusty talking about his decision to start Gerrit Cole.
Well, I mean, guy's been here 5-6 times. About time he started one. and plus, you know, he's one of the best there is. And, you know, plus he wanted it. You know, a lot of guys, sometimes they might not want to pitch in this particular game, but, you know, he wanted to pitch. And, hey, man, if a guy like Gerrit Cole wants to pitch, I'll let him pitch.
Yeah. Dusty's got a priest. Papa is, what, 73 now? Did he have his birthday?
Oh, yes. He's at least 73.
He's at least 73 now, right?
Uh-huh.
Here's him talking about if he appreciates being at the All-Star game.
Yeah, you know, well, actually, I appreciate it when I get here. Mm-hmm. You know, prior to getting here, you're like, well, okay, I could be fishing, I could be doing this or that. But when I get here, man, I get the same feeling as if I was a kid. Because, see, I never made All-Star teams. I made All-Star teams in football, baseball. I mean, football, basketball, couple in track. I swam. But I never made it in baseball. And I was always an alternate from the time I was in Little League. And I was like, why am I always an alternate? And I made my first big league team. My first All-Star game in the big leagues. I mean, most guys have probably their 10th time making an All-Star team. Right. But I made my first one, 1981, of my whole career, a whole life, with the Dodgers in 1981. So that meant a whole bunch to me.
How about that? Usually, if you're a major leaguer, you were the best kid in your league. You know, there's a lot of best kids in the league that never make it. They're not even good enough. He wasn't even good enough in Little League to make an All-Star team, and yet he became a major leaguer and an All-Star in the majors. That's odd.
Well, and not only he was odd, yeah, I mean, he could have been a late bloomer, but even then, you're still – yeah, that is a little strange because he was drafted out of high school.
Yeah,
to play baseball, I mean, so he must have been good, you know. I mean, unless he just became a good player in high school and not below, you know, not before high school.
Well, you don't really have an All-Star game in high school.
No, that's what I'm saying. His All-Star stuff would have had to have been, you know, pre high school. So that's when you have All-Star. So maybe he was a late bloomer and just got, you know, a lot better in high school.
Yep. But that's an odd story. Usually the best little leaguers, you have to be the best in your little league even to be, you know, to continue on to high school. Even playing in high school, you have to be a good little league player. So that is that's crazy. That's Dusty. That's Dusty's life. So the Astros will be represented not by Jordan, not by Fromber, but by Kyle Tucker. You see, I mean, the whole lineup is at one point. You were going to see an entire Atlanta Braves infield and practically the entire Rangers. The Rangers are dominating the All-Star game. They had a nice first half of the season, but, I mean, look at this. It's Ranger after Ranger that you're going to be seeing out there, and Ray, a bunch of Rays as well. So Texas has Simeon starting. They've got Corey Seager. They've got Adolis Garcia. And they've got Josh Young. They've got Jonah Heim. They got five starters in the lineup, the Rangers do. Boy, times have changed.
It's crazy. It's all Rangers and Blue Jays.
And Rangers, Blue, and Tampa.
And Tampa, yeah.
And Tampa, yeah. And throw in a few Orioles, and that's about it. That's about all you got. And then on the other side, there's a good possibility you will have an all-Atlanta infield out there at some point. Or maybe even the whole team will be Atlanta. 713-780-3776. If you'd like to get in here with us on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, we'll get back to a little Texans talk on the other side. There's a couple of questions I'd like to ask you right now. I want to ask you how your hair is. I want to ask you how you feel about your hair. I want to ask you about your receding hairline. I want to ask you about your bald spot. I want to ask you, are you too young to be losing your hair? Do you feel like you look old? Are you not as attractive as you were without hair? Of course you're not as attractive. You got a hair. I mean, what? You hear all these ladies, oh, no, I love to rub his bald head. No, she wants to rub her hands through your thick hair. That's what she wants. She doesn't want a bald head. Come on. There's no superheroes that are bald. You got to have hair. And Doc Linville gives you hair. Doc Linville, it's not fake. It doesn't look like doll hair. It looks great. It comes from the side and back of your head, and it puts on top, and then that the side and back grow back. It's perfect, and it's not painful. He's got an anesthesia that lasts 3 days, but it's not painful anyway, not like the cutting that they used to do. Don't do that. What you need is Doc Linville. The neo-grafting process is excellent. And then you might even not need neo-grafting. You might just get the PRP where it generates it and it stimulates the growth. So if you're looking for the best way to get that hair back in your life, 975hair.com, 975hair.com.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here, your family.
Look at our family now.